Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote, Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now, here's a question for my listeners. Have you ever taken a train trip? Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to travel back in time to visit a train? Have you ever wanted to know why your fantasy train trip has not taken place yet? Now, would you like to learn what happens when you make your dreams come true? Tell me, have you ever heard of a business called The Train Source? Now, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers about trains that we've been looking for today? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to time travel with us on trains? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'll be introducing you to my guest, who is also a close friend. He runs an amazing business called The Train Source. He will be sharing with us information, inspiration, and some really great train stories. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk4Media, and we are syndicated on 6 networks with over 5 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now, let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. He has been in the train business for many years. He is the founder of The Train Source, originally founded in 1967 as Short Line Enterprises. Then it converted to Short Line Enterprises, Inc. in 1973. He has 48 years of experience in the restoration, maintenance, and operation of steam and diesel locomotives, as well as passenger and freight trains. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today, Stan Gardner. Hi, Stan. How are you today?
I'm fine, January. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this. As you know, my husband has wanted me to do this show for a long time. He loves train travel. Let's start the show off with you sharing with our listeners where your success story began, where you were born, raised, and who your early mentors were.
Well, that's a complicated question. I was born in Southern California, Pasadena, actually.
Okay.
And I was raised most of my life there. And then 1956, when I was about 15 years old, my dad was transferred to Calgary, Alberta.
Oh, okay.
I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I had always liked trains, and I had model trains and Lionel trains and all that kind of stuff. But
uh-huh.
When we moved to Canada, they were still running a lot of steam engines up there in Calgary.
Oh.
And so I used to go down to the railroad yard in downtown Calgary where there was a flour mill called the Robin Hood Flour Mill.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to talking to some of the train crews, and I ended up riding steam engines just about every day. at lunchtime in high school and after lunch when I wasn't working, or after work, after school when I wasn't working, and on weekends.
Okay.
So that really got me hooked on real trains, and I wanted to be a railroader.
Okay.
Before I finished high school, they got rid of steam engines, and, you know, that was a disappointment. I didn't like those shiny new diesels. So I ended up going to the Navy out of high school, and then after the Navy, I was in the computer business, or defense electronics business initially after college. And a buddy and I bought a little steam engine in 1967. It was kind of a hobby interest. And we ended up trying to start a little amusement ride at a park, and we were frustrated in that event, and we found out that the movie studios were selling some railroad equipment, and figured, well, we can put a whole train together.
Okay.
A couple of other buddies joined us. The next thing we knew, we had bought equipment from MGM, we bought the Paramount Pictures collection, and we bought the 20th Century Fox collection.
Oh, my
God. Now, you got to understand, we're just a bunch of guys with no money, and we did, you know, we'd buy five things and sell three to keep two.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
That's how we built our collection up. And over the years, we had owned almost 100 pieces of equipment by by 1980.
Wow.
And we still had in our possession about 20.
Okay.
So
just out of curiosity.
It's one thing led to another, but because we started buying stuff in movie studios, then we rented it back to them. And we ended up being in the movie business.
What comes around goes around, doesn't it?
Yeah, it was it was not what I intended to be. I was an electronic engineer by training.
Yes, yeah. Now, let me ask you, Stan, this first steam engine you bought in 1967, how much did you pay for that?
We paid $9,000 for this little steam engine and a quarter of a mile of track. Didn't include any property. It was just the hardware. But we leased some track from the Santa Fe Railroad in Alta Loma, which is now part of Rancho Cucamonga. And it was an old spur that had served a winery and an oil storage facility for smudge oil when they had citrus out there.
Oh, okay.
And so it was just an unused little piece of branch line that had been built probably in 1900. And we were out there from 1967 till 1976.
Okay.
And that was when the Santa Fe was there. We were going to tear that all up and sell the property off. It's all houses now.
Oh, okay.
I often wonder what people think when they're digging in their backyard and they find railroad spikes.
Yeah. And then at the height of your business, you had 100 pieces of were these engines or passenger cars?
We owned a total of 100 pieces of equipment. We had sold a lot of it off.
Okay.
And that's how we financed it, was by buying and selling. It was we couldn't afford to keep everything we bought.
Sure.
And that was never the plan. I mean, didn't have enough room for that anyway.
Yeah.
But we did operate a supply equipment for an excursion railroad in Virginia City, Nevada, in 1976.
Mm-hmm.
And that fellow decided he wanted to own his own equipment.
Okay.
So then we moved it over to a place called the Sierra Railroad at Jamestown, California, which is now Railtown 1897 State Park.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a primary collection there from 1977, late 76, through about 1985.
Okay.
And in 1985, another partner and I started a movie train operation in Southern California at a place called Castaic Junction. It's near Magic Mountain, north of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And we were there for 5 years. And then we moved to Fillmore, California. And we sold that operation in 1997, and it's still going on as the Fillmore and Western Railway.
Okay.
By that time, I didn't own any more equipment, but I bought a private rail car. So that's got me into the private rail car business.
Okay. Now,
and I still provide coordinating services for the film industry.
Okay. Now, let's backtrack a little bit on some of the restoration projects that you worked on for the California State Railroad Museum in Sacramento. What did you do for them?
Well, we got contacted by their curator, a fellow named Stephen Drew, in 1976, when we still had stuff up in Virginia City.
Mm-hmm.
And the equipment we had bought from the movie studios had all been built in the 1860s and 70s, for the most part, the equipment we kept at any rate.
Uh-huh.
And we restored that. We learned how to restore that equipment on our own.
Okay.
And we developed some restoration techniques that not only repaired the equipment and brought it back to life in new condition, but we developed some archaeological techniques that uncovered the history of the railroad equipment layer by layer of paint. That skill set put us in a position for two of my partners to be hired to supervise and do restoration work for the museum in Sacramento.
Okay.
Bill Oden was the principal restoration specialist supervisor, and Ron Steiner was a restoration specialist who, his training, he was a graphic artist and a phenomenal artist, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a significant amount of the detailed paint work that people see in the various railroad cars at Sacramento. That includes the headliners and the passenger cars and the detailed painting on the interior.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Okay, and then you also did a restoration contract for the Nevada State Railroad Museum. That was in Carson City. And you've done restoration feasibility projects for Nevada State Park, Kansas Museum of History, Topeka, as well as tourist railroad development in connection with the Nevada State Railroad Museum. So this, so trains became your one and only occupation, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there were four of us originally. And I ended up, because of the contacts I'd made in the movie industry, I ended up doing the movie contact stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the restoration, in fact, quite a bit of the restoration work. And then the two of my partners were full-time with the museum in Sacramento, and then as that was coming to an end, we started working in Carson City. We were hired as a contractor rather than as employees. So we were the primary contractor with that restoration from 1979 until 1988.
Okay. Okay, so you were doing that, and then, well, you know what we're going to do right now, Stan? We're going to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk about your train business and how you got actively involved with the motion picture world and excursion train operations with Shortline Enterprises. We'll be right back with Stan Gardner.
With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. the Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine. Certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive, she brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channeled journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com. Come explore with Clyde McCulley the world of the Little Cuties Let's Pretend books with your little one. Imagine the funny, mixed-up emotions of an onion that cries when it's happy. And delight in the giant ears that make a little elephant special. Meet the engaging characters who will inspire imagination and build curiosity in your little cutie. This is where the love of learning is born. So discover the world of Little Cuties Let's Pretend today. The first two Little Cuties Let's Pretend titles are at Amazon and StoryNightPress.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Wine Zone today. Today I'm visiting with a man who I know is not a whiner. He is a trained man here in our town in Payson, Arizona. He has a wonderful business. He's the founder of the Train Source Incorporated, Stan Gardner. Now, Stan, share with us. I'm looking at your screen credits. You've done a lot of movie work with trains, haven't you?
Yeah, I've been doing that since 1972.
Okay.
We ended up, when we bought the stuff from the movie studios,
mm-hmm.
And then started fixing it up, and they rented it back, the next thing we knew that we were in the movie business. It was unexpected, but that's where we ended up at. And, did early TV shows like Kung Fu and Street to San Francisco, and then... gone on to do many series, feature films, television commercials, music videos. I got my Screen Actors Guild card in 1989.
Okay.
And I appeared on camera in several different shows and TV shows from 1989. I guess I haven't been on camera for a few years now, about 6 or 7 years since I moved to Payson.
Okay.
And,
well, some of these, like Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, that was a very famous. Some of these are Melrose Place, The Extreme Adventures of Super Dade. What do you have any special memories of any favorite films that you worked on?
Oh, gosh. You know, I've done 309 shows.
Oh.
All the trains, nothing but trains.
Uh-huh.
And, some favorites, Super Dave, I loved working with Super Dave. Bob Einstein, who played Super Dave, he's just a really creative guy, and they always came up with some really wacky and bizarre shows for us to do, and it was always fun with Super Dave. Did a show with Dan Aykroyd called Nothing But Trouble, and it was not a huge success. It was an interesting show. It was kind of convoluted, which meant it was hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
It starred Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase and John Candy and Demi Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Like being on a Saturday Night Live set, you know, it was kind of fun.
Oh, yeah, for sure. One of my favorite.
Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou was a hoot.
Oh, yeah. Now, that was with George Clooney, and that would be the Coen brothers, right?
Yes. I've done two shows with them. They're the best people in Hollywood to work with.
Really? I
mean, they're top of the top. Them and Clint Eastwood and a handful of others, but
okay.
They're as good as it gets.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, well, sure. Clint Eastwood. Well, so our listeners go to the website, which we're going to share in our next segment with you. You look like a train conductor, and that's probably one of the parts you played most, isn't it?
I've played train conductor. I've been train engineer. I've been a brakeman. I've been a worker. Anything to do with the railroad part, I've had something to do with it.
Okay. Wow. And what a career you've had in the entertainment. Now, you also have private car ownership.
Yes.
And share with our listeners how that came about.
Well, it was kind of an accident, just like getting in the movie business. I'd been working with a friend of mine on a project for a concert tour for a rock band, and they wanted to travel around the country by train.
Okay.
And this friend of mine owned a particular railroad car that would have been perfect, but it was a large open car, baggage car, horse car. And they could have had jam sessions and what have you in the car.
Okay.
And it was going along well, and then my friend was involved in a car accident, and he died.
Oh, dear.
And I ended up buying the car to protect the project, bought the car from his estate.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this was after I'd sold the railroad in Fillmore, so, you know, it was just one of those things. And then the people putting the travel together, the show, for this concert, they kind of got crosswise with some drug people and ended up going to jail, so the whole thing got canceled.
Oh, dear. But
and I had a railroad car. So I said, okay, here I am. I'm just going to fix it up and use it the way I want to.
Okay.
And I still own it, and I still run it, and I've had some wonderful, wonderful experiences, both just in terms of travel, and I've used it in filmmaking. I used it in a movie called Mona Lisa Smile. I used it in a episode, a music video by a group called NSYNC, which was Justin Timberlake, and just, you know, different shows, but it's primarily I use it for travel and charter.
Okay, okay. And, you know, right now I think we need to share your website information because I am browsing and there is so much to look at and so much information. Could you share that website?
Yeah, the easiest website to get to is just my name, stangarner.com.
Okay, okay. And then
stangarner.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also it's the Train Source Inc. and movietrains.com. So there's three connections.
Movie hyphen trains.
Okay. So now, okay, you're into private car ownership. Tell us what that's like and share some of your observations.
Well, I've got a page called Private Car Ownership linked on my website. And it really gives you a lot of information about what it takes to own and operate a private car.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like owning a boat.
Okay.
It's a hole in the water you throw money in.
Oh, okay.
And it just...
And that's like owning an airplane or anything like that.
Anything
right?
Like this, yeah. The unique thing about private rail car ownership is there are only about 100 people in the country that own and operate private rail cars.
Okay.
There's a couple hundred cars operating. Some people own more than one car. But there are some businesses that own private rail cars that use them for corporate events.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some individuals that use their private cars exclusively for their use.
Mm-hmm.
And there are individuals like me that have private cars that are available for charter.
Okay.
And there's an organization, and it's linked on my webpage. Down at the bottom of the center panel, you'll see a little black and white logo with a rail car on it, tail end of a rail car. And that takes you to the Private Rail Car Owners Association webpage.
Okay.
And then there you have an opportunity to charter a car. You can become a member. It's open to anybody. And you can buy a car. You can sell a car. You can travel on different cars. But it's got a very diverse menu of options.
Okay.
And it really explains what private car ownership is all about. We have a convention once a year. And this year we're going to be in Spokane, Washington, and we put together a special train of private cars.
Oh, really?
And we travel a unique route to get from where we start to where we end up.
And, fascinating. And this is something that you do. This is probably one of the most exclusive associations I've ever heard about, since there's only 100 owners, right?
There's 100 owners. We have just under 500 members in the association.
Oh, okay.
Anybody can become a member if you like the idea of riding on a private rail car. And there's all different kinds of private rail cars. There's people that have sleeping cars. There's people with sleeping cars and lounge cars. people with dome cars, people with official office cars, which are called a business car, and they're kind of the top of the line executive suite, if you will.
Okay.
They're the ones with a brass railed rear platform, and they have an observation room, and then four or five state rooms, a formal dining room, and then a crew room and a galley. So it's completely self-contained ultimate RV.
Okay. You know, right now, Stan, we're going to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what some of these railway cars, their interior configurations, also what it's like to put your train on Amtrak. How does that work? We'll be right back with Stan Gardner.
Every decade had its musical phenomenon. The 1960s had Motown, the Supremes, the Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, the Four Tops. The exciting new book, Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans by Tom Ingracia, presents 140 never-before-published photographs taken by fans from around the world that tell the story of the people, places, and things that made Motown the music that inspired a generation. Relive the memories of a time when we were all dancing in the streets, and the music of Motown reigns supreme. Reflections of a Love Supreme, Motown Through the Eyes of Fans, is available from Amazon.com. I've seen dead people. Author Teresa Sneed says with a grin, they've spoken to me. Teresa Sneed writes fantasy, mystery, suspense, and realistic paranormal with a touch of sweet romance. She writes what she knows, full of insight into the spirit world, coupled with a panache for humor. Her No Angels series about angels and demons interacting with the living are simply fascinating. Sneed has three more series as well, from Wizards and Dragons to Witches of Salem. Visit TeresaSneed.com for more information or search for Teresa Sneed Books on Amazon.com.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems. People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes. People who have priceless personalities. In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions. I'm pleased to announce that Priceless Personalities is also available at audiblebooks.com. And today I have a priceless personality visiting with us, Stan Gardner. He's the founder of The Train Source, a company that is in the train business. Now, Stan, let's talk a little bit about someone listening is thinking, maybe I'd like to buy a train. Of course, you actively encourage them to take a train trip first so they know what they're getting into, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You need to not just take a train trip, but you need to take a trip on a privately owned rail car. The owners typically travel with the cars, and you can spend a lot of time picking their brain. They're glad to share their experiences with you.
Okay. And in order to do that, they can make the arrangements at your website?
They can get a hold of me, or depending where they're at in the country, they can go to the APRCO website, AAPRCO.com, and there'll be a link to cars that you can charter, and there's also a link that shows trips that are being planned and scheduled. So you can join other people on a trip, these can be done just about any time of the year. In the West and in the South, in the Northeast, most car owners put their cars away for the winter because it's just too darn tough to travel out there. I know I've done it.
Yeah. Okay. And Stan is a member, and it's the American Association of Private Railroad Car Owners. He served on the board of directors. He served as president. He is also a member of the Railroad Passenger Car Alliance, and he to this day consults on equipment operation, restoration, research, and design. And you can, that's fabulous information that people can actually make arrangements and plan a trip. Now, let's talk about the really, my really, really elegant listeners who think they might want to buy one. Share with us what purchasing an approved car, how much does that cost?
You can buy a pretty nice house for what it costs.
Okay.
You can buy a very nice house for what it costs. It's an expensive proposition. This day and age, you can buy a car that's certified for Amtrak service for $200,000 to $500,000. I've seen a couple of them advertised for $750,000. Those are very exclusive cars. They're worth every penny of it. But you're going to spend money maintaining the car. It has to have a certain number of inspections. You have an annual inspection for Amtrak. There's a 10-year inspection. And if you're buying a car that's a bargain basement car, which has not been approved, you're going to spend upwards of $350,000 to $500,000 to get it approved.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. And now you say Amtrak approved. How do you go about putting your car on Amtrak and participating in their railway system, and how costly is that?
Well, Amtrak has a specific set of requirements that you have to meet to get their approval on the railroad car. It's a, it's a thorough inspection process.
Okay.
Which involves, to start from scratch, you have to tear the car completely apart and put it back together under their supervision.
Oh, my
God. Then, and there are shops that do that. You don't have to do it yourself. But there are railroad shops that do that. Once you have the car listed as an approved car in their system, when you want to go somewhere, you fill out a piece of paper. It's, you know, like anything else. You got to do the documentation. Called a move request, and you tell them where you want to start, where you want to go, how long you want to stay, and where you want to go when you go to finish your trip, come back home or wherever you're going to park the car. And there are certain places we can go and certain places we can't. We can go on just about any Amtrak train. They put us on the rear of the train, and so you've got the rearmost position. And then you can get off in certain cities. Like if we start in Los Angeles, we can get off in Oakland, where there's a terminal. We can get off in Seattle. We can get off in Chicago. We can get off in Kansas City. We can get off in New Orleans. You can get off in Washington, D.C., which is fabulous. And I've done a couple of trips where I take my car to D.C. by way of New Orleans or Chicago. And then you stay on the railroad car as your hotel while you're in D.C., and they park you right in the station, so it's really nice.
Well, where do you park your car? Like, where's your car parked today?
I keep it on a small industrial short line in the Los Angeles area, and they move it to Amtrak for me, and then Amtrak puts it on a train. Now, before every trip, and every day, actually, there's what's called a daily inspection on the car to make sure it hasn't suffered any wear and tear damage during the course of the day or operation. So there's daily inspections and there's daily servicing, and you get water and your toilets pumped and everything else on a daily basis.
No, and this is done by Amtrak, right?
That's done by Amtrak, yes.
Yeah, okay.
And so there's a fee for all of those things. You know, the $150 for this and $150 for that. And, it's about $3 a mile to pull your car.
Okay.
It's just under 5,000 miles round trip from Los Angeles to Chicago, so it's about a $14,000 bill.
Okay. That's the number, the magic number I was looking for. What's Stan, what's the longest trip you've ever taken with your car?
I guess L.A. to Washington, D.C. and back. Did that twice. I've done it. I did it in 2009, and I did it again in 2010.
Okay.
And the one in 2009, it was late February, early March, and we went through a blizzard on the way back to Chicago from D.C., and it was about 3 degrees below zero in D.C., so it was kind of cold.
I think you should have gone
in D.C., but it's 3 below in Chicago, not D.C. D.C. was all right. It was wet, but all right. But Chicago was cold.
Well, you know, we were talking earlier, there's a business car, a sleeping car, a sleeper lounge car, a lounge car. Also, you can have a dining car, dome car, baggage express. Now, what kind of car do you have?
I own a baggage express and horse car.
Okay.
It's a car that was actually built for the Canadian Pacific Railway in 1941. And they use it to haul the Royal Canadian Mounted Police show horses for their musical ride program.
Okay, okay, okay. Now, how did you find this car?
Well, like I say, it belonged to a friend of mine, and he had it parked out at the railroad I had in Southern California.
Okay, yeah, that we went through that. Okay, now what have you done to modify your baggage express horse car? Well, I mean, what can
you
do?
Well, obviously, it's been cleaned of any residue from horses.
Yeah.
And I put in a parquet dance floor.
Oh, really?
I paneled the walls. It has an antique bar, and it's just got an 1870s interior. I patterned it after a railroad car we'd bought from one of the movie studios.
Okay.
So it's an old-timey interior, and it's kind of a funky little car. And we travel down the track with the side doors open so you can smell the air and see the sights. It's a lot of fun.
And do you sleep on your car?
I have sleeping space for myself and one other person on the car for crew. But if I'm going to travel on a long distance, like going to D.C. and back, I pair it up with a sleeping car.
Okay. Oh, okay.
And then we did the food service in my car. And the other thing is that we always travel with a chef and a steward.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that you have really high-quality food on the train, and beverage service is included in the charter price.
Okay.
So, you know, everything is like being on a ship's cruise.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I get it.
It's like having a stateroom on a cruise. You've got all the amenities.
Oh, gosh, that sounds wonderful. And people can go to the website, stangarner.com. There's pictures. You can get information on how you can contact Stan and talk to him about planning your next trip. Right now, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and do a little more train talk with Stan Garner.
From cowgirl to caregiver to consultant, meet Becky Fiola, author of The Elder Care Consultant, your guide to making the best choices possible. Growing up on remote ranches across the western states, she tended to orphan creatures large and small. Later on, that nurturing instinct served her well as the primary caregiver for her late husband. And now, she offers hope and guidance as a consultant to the elderly and their families. When you need advice on caring for an aging loved one, you can find those answers and her book at Amazon.com and her website, www.assistedlivingadvantage.com. Executives, managers, entrepreneurs, and professionals. A people strategy and change consultant, award-winning author, emotional intelligence practitioner, and trainer, Yvette Bethel, can provide you with strategies you can use to empower yourself, grow your people, build your culture, and transform your results. For insights and strategies you can use to develop yourself to build a high-performing team, you can subscribe to Yvette Bethel's weekly podcast, Evolve, Mastery for Leaders of the New World, and sign up for her newsletter at YvetteBethel.com. That's YvetteBethel.com. YvetteBethel.com.
January Jones wants you to grow your business fast, getting free PR, doing interviews with podcasters and internet radio shows. Grab your free copy of our audio how-to course called How to Build Your Business, Get More Email Subscribers, and Make More Money Free Doing Podcast and Internet Talk Radio Interviews. Grab your copy right now at realfasttalkradio.com. Again, that website is realfasttalkradio.com.
Welcome back to Real Fast Success Stories with our guest, Stan Garner, the founder of The Train Source, and he is sharing what it is like to own a private car. He is also sharing with us how you can plan private trips in private cars. Sounds like a fabulous experience. Now, let's talk briefly, Stan, about the problems with the Pony Express that you did. And this is an interesting car that was kept in the garden from 22 until 27. Okay, tell us about the Pony Express.
Well, the Pony Express is my private rail car, and it's named Pony Express because it was a horse car.
Okay.
And there's a picture of it on the front page of my website, and if you click on that picture, it'll take you to a page that shows the car.
Oh,
and
okay.
Gives you the floor plan, and it shows you the interior of the car, and a bar, and then the food preparation that we've done, some activity we did when we were doing the Railroad Revival Tour in 2011,
okay.
And then a wedding, and then just traveling along the countryside having a meal.
Uh-huh.
And some of the scenery you get, and then doing movies from it. So it's just a variety of things. It has a little history of the car on it,
uh-huh.
And it just is a fairly complete description.
Okay, very good. Well done. Now, also they have limited. You have more photos at your website, and there's also a list of some of the private car trips that have been on the schedule. It's a very long list. Basically, you've done a lot of train travel in California and up the coast, haven't you?
I've been up the coast a dozen times at least.
Sure.
Uh-huh. And in 2012, we did a late springtime trip for the Private Car Owners Association, where we went up from started in Portland, Oregon, and went to Spokane, and then mm-hmm. from Spokane, we went up into southern British Columbia over some freight-only trackage.
Oh,
and we
okay.
went to along Kootenai Lake and Nelson, and we went to Trail, British Columbia, and mm-hmm. we came back to Cranbrook, and then over to Crow's Nest Pass, and into southern Alberta, and then came down into Montana and broke the train up in Whitefish, Montana,
okay.
And came home from there by way of Seattle and down the coast. So that was a 17-day trip.
Okay, that's what was going to be my next question. How long are these trips? How long did it
take?
Yeah,
we have trips that run anywhere from a one-day trip. If people want to go from L.A. to San Diego and back in a day, that's easy to do.
Uh-huh.
You can go up to San Luis Obispo and back. Oakland is an overnight trip because you go up one day and come back the next.
Uh-huh.
Or you go up one day and stay a few days in the Bay Area and then come back. We cannot go into San Francisco. That's a separate entity. That's the Caltrain commuter operation, and they will not take private cars in there. So we can't get to San Francisco itself. The closest we can get is Oakland.
Mm-hmm. And how many people have gotten married on your train?
I've had one complete wedding on the train, and that couple's still together.
Oh, God.
that was several years ago, about 10 years ago at least. And that was a fun trip, yeah.
Oh, I betcha. Yeah. Now, so then you just, like, if I wanted to get married on your train, you would make all the arrangements, and then you would attach us to an Amtrak train that would take us to our destination and back, right?
Yeah, what we did, it was a wedding I did a few years ago. It was a San Diego trip. We went L.A. to San Diego and back.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going down the track, and, you know, it was, a lot of the time when you're traveling here in the West, you're running at 90 miles an hour. And we were zipping down the track, and after the ceremony was over, the pastor asked me what county we were in when they said I do. And I had to think for a minute, and I realized we were down by Doheny State Beach, so it was Orange County. And
so he had to put that on the marriage certificate, right?
Right. He had to make that official.
Oh, gosh, that sounds like so much fun. And it sounds like a wonderful thing to plan a party, a family reunion. These trains, there's not a lot of them. So it's a very quality, rare experience. And do you get repeat customers?
Yes. Yes, I've had several repeat customers. And in fact, I just had a phone call today from somebody that wants to do a two-day trip. And so that's what I'm working on pricing on right now, giving some options.
Okay.
It's for a 50th anniversary, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. That would be awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
That's giving me – I've only got 5 more years to go, but that's giving me a great idea. And I want to say, Stan, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing Train Talk with us. His website is stangarner.com. I hope that many of my listeners will contact you and get more information and possibly book their own private car trips on the Polish.
Sure, and if I can't do it for them, because of where they are or where they want to go or anything like that, then I'll refer them to somebody that can. So I'd be glad to do that.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so very, very much. And I'll look forward to having you back on the show, and I'll look forward to seeing you around town this weekend.
Indeed. Thanks, January.
You're welcome. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today, all about trains. My upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Stan. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful, and we can help you plan your next event. We can help you plan a wedding, an anniversary. You can tour in a private car. It sounds so fabulous. To all my listeners, welcome again to the No Whining World. When you can, sign on to my website, januaryjones.com. We love sharing our stories, especially about trains, struggles, and secrets for success. Always remember my mantra: if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, my dear friends, stop whining, start smiling, and then you can go out and start sharing our show with everyone you know. Thank you again to my guest today, Stan Gardner from Payson, Arizona. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra: if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.